Good evening. One of the things that I found through this community and charismatic communities that I've gone to is I think that the people that are part of that have come to realize the place of God in their life. When we talk about God's plan of salvation, the first thing we really have to, I believe, understand is that God has brought all of this about because his very nature is the nature of what I would call outgoing and outgiving of love. That is who he is. Because God is eternal, we don't know when he came up with the decision to create, but it was always there in a sense. And somewhere along the line, he brought it to fruition. This God who loves wanted to create beings who would understand that love. He did it in the beginning just with inanimate objects and things like that, and then with living things, but they knew the value of their own lives. In other words, they all didn't run off and destroy themselves. They had what was built in by God to have a care and a love for their own lives and the loves of their offspring. And they just knew this. But God wanted more than that. And so he came up with creating us, who he endowed not only with a self-awareness and a conscience, but he wanted us to come to understand also his nature, which is that of love, by learning and understanding what it means to love ourselves, to love others, and obviously to love God. In the story in the Bible, he did this by creating two people who blew it from the very beginning, Adam and Eve. That is what caused the trouble. God gave us the gift of freedom of choice, that is, we could make our decisions, and God would hope that we would make them in the right way. Unfortunately, in God's creation, he also created spirits who he also gave the freedom to love him or not, and of course, there were some who chose not. They were free to be available to us, the angels who protect us and the devils who worked to get us to act against God, and that's what happened. So somewhere along the line, Adam and Eve failed, and God said, well, this is going to have to be made up. Yes, he could have just condemned us and said, well, you human beings are a complete failure. This is not what I wanted, and that's the end of it. But he gave us that freedom to choose. And because of that, he said, you know, we will give you another opportunity. The whole story of much of the Old Testament is that God worked with the people, try to help them understand who he was, what he was about, and to really give human beings an opportunity to choose and serve him, not in a groveling way, but in a very loving and caring way, not only towards God, but towards one another. And unfortunately for human beings, this hasn't been easy. You know, we have stories of Adam and Eve that failed. We have the story of the Tower of Babel, where people believed that they didn't need God. They could get to heaven on their own by building a tower up to the sky. And that failed. And then we have the story of Noah and the Ark, because the human race had just gone to pot, so to speak. He wanted to start over. And of course, we have when God called Abraham, who he made a specific gesture on his part to open up to Abraham. We don't know why. In some sense, he was a good person, but he worshipped idols. And apparently, not only was an elderly gentleman, but maybe one of the high priests of their communities, he appeared to him in some way and told him to leave. He would make of him a great nation, and he left. We have in his story the story of the terrible destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities that had completely become, I guess, worse than Las Vegas or something, I don't know. But the thing is, he destroyed those, and then he called the people. They were doing well as a small community, Abraham and his children and all that. Then there was the need to go to Egypt because of the famine. His one son had gone down there, or grandson. He brought his people into Egypt, and of course they were there for 400 years and became slaves, and then Moses led them out. God called them to be his people, appearing to Moses on the mountain and saying, here's what you got to do. So the whole thing is that God has been a God who loves us, who wants us to be with him, has given us every opportunity, and we have time and time again kind of sidestepped what he wanted for us, and we've continued to do that. But it finally came to a point where God said, we have to make amends for the human race, and so Jesus Christ came. So the first thing we have to understand is that God created us not because he was selfish and self-centered and wanted everybody to love him. That wasn't his point. The point was that he wanted people to come to know what it means to live in the freedom of his love in a way that, yes, we love God, but in a way that we can love one another and become the best that we can be. We just had a hard time doing that because of the evil influences that ran about and kept yelling out, the only one you have to worry about is yourself, and you can do whatever you want. So we've had time and time again, even up to our present day, people who live their lives very selfishly, very self-centeredly. They have no great desire to come to know God, to love him, or to really find the happiness that God brings to us. And so Jesus came. He walked this earth in this season of Lent. Tells us that, you know, ultimately Jesus made the sacrifice of being taken for what he believed, that is, for what he announced, the message of salvation, was crucified and killed. And of course, then he rose on Easter Sunday. The point being that Jesus continually, and God continually, tried to make a pathway without confining us. That is, he didn't come along and say, because you've been so bad, I'm taking away your freedom of free will, that you have the right to do whatever you want. No, I'm going to come along again and try to get this started anew by sending my son, who's going to give his human life for you to make up for all the wrongs that you have done, so that you may ultimately experience what it means to live your life in my presence. And so this is basically what Christ has done. He's come not to browbeat people, not to say, if you do this, you're going to go to hell. Certainly, in one way or another, he does say that, with the idea that if you don't want God, then you're not going to be a part of that, because God is a God who respects us And if we choose not to be with him, he will accept that, though he will still go on loving us. He will still go on having the desire for us to be with him. But when we make that final choice, if it's not to be with God, then it means to be away from God for all eternity. So this is the thing. And so when we come to these Life in the Spirit seminars, it's there to help us focus on what God wants from us. He wants us to really experience the fullness of his life here and the joy and happiness that brings, even in the midst of problems and difficulties and things like that, because he still allows Satan to work in our world. We might say, why does he do that? And the reality is that he loves them too, because he created them. He did not want them to reject him, but they did. So they have that freedom. And God comes, wants to give us all we need to fight against that, so that in our lives, the things that we do will show that we choose to want Christ more than anything else. That we want his love, we want his care, we want to resemble him in the way that we live our lives, that we don't want to get caught up in selfishness, self-centeredness, pride, greed, and so many of the things that draw people away from God. But unfortunately, that takes effort, because everything that we see in the world is always calling us away from God in so many ways and saying, this is okay, you can do this, it's no big deal. We have to come along and say, is this really what God wants for us? Because God came and died a horrendous death to tell us how terrible sin is. And it's not just that it's an offense against God who loves us and who calls us to himself, but it has the dire effect that sin more and more turns us away from God's love. In other words, if we love God at any time, the more we sin and the more we do the more serious kinds of sin, the less we are attracted to the love that God has for us. And we might say, greedy. That is, we soon become people that want to be gods ourselves, and we want to get whatever we can. Because no matter what, the way God made us is that God wants us to be happy. And he wants us to be fulfilled. But when we take the wrong path, our happiness and our fulfillment is false. We think that having fame or fortune or be prosperous with all the stuff that we can get is going to make us happy. That really isn't what makes us happy. It may make us feel good for a little while, and we may enjoy it, but everything in this world gets old. We get tired of it. We're always looking for something new. The only person that can do that is God, because God is ever new, ever changing, because he's infinite. God is never the same from one moment to the next, because of his goodness and his beauty. It is always calling us to himself. And so we find our truest joy, our truest peace, our truest happiness, being with God, being with him forever. I've told this story many times. I have to shut up here soon. But I had somebody actually kind of demonstrate that to me one time when I was in a nursing home and visited a lady who'd been in bed for 22 years. She was only in her 40s, but she never got out of bed. and she was in a rotten nursing home. They closed it down shortly thereafter. And I went to see her to bring her communion, and we were talking. That's what she told me. She said, "No, I've been bedridden for years, and I don't get out or see anybody or anything." I said to her, "I guess you have lots of time to say many rosaries. I mean, you know, 24 hours a day being in bed, what else?" And she started laughing. And she looked at me and she said, "Father, I don't have time for that." And I said, "You don't have time for that?" She says, "No." She says, "Every morning when I wake up, I begin my morning by saying the Lord's Prayer. And I simply say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name.'" And she says, "That's as far as I get." He says, "Then the Father comes, and I spend the rest of my day with him in heaven." When she said that, literally her face glowed with the love and joy that the Father brings to her. And she didn't need anything else. She didn't need cars or money or even the ability to walk around, because she had really the only thing that matters. She had God. And he took her into his life. So this is kind of the idea behind the Life in the Spirit seminar, that we come to know God and know his love for us and his care for us. And that when he created us because somewhere along the line, he wants to take us to heaven and experience that joy. Okay.